Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That's right, the Chateau, home of the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. By the way, home of the next USFL franchise. We're really pushing hard on Hummel's Wharf.
Can I do play-by-play for those games then,
sure,
please?
Absolutely. Yeah,
excellent.
No. And, of course, the Steve Jones Show is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. All right. Dennis Dodd, senior college football columnist for CBS Sports, writes this today, other than the catfish tweet, another noble tweet.
Now you got to read it now that you've talked about it.
I want to salute the noble catfish that gave its life so I could have lunch at Herb Saint. You digested well, my friend.
See, there you go. People do want to know about the hot dog and that it tasted good. I saw that tweet and I'm like, that's all about what Twitter is right now.
It's painful. I mean, that to me, that is a Twitter statement unto itself. That is why I am judicious in my use of it.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
The NCAA task force is proposing sweeping changes to postseason college football structure that would turn over the majority of oversight of bowls to conferences themselves. Documents obtained by CBSSports.com show that the NCAA postseason task force would essentially transfer the legal responsibility of running the postseason to the commissioners in their leagues. Isn't that almost what it is now? That means the power to decide the number of bowls, currently capped at 35, and minimum qualification standards would rest with those conferences. That possibility has produced buzz and division among college football stakeholders who are trying to figure out what it all means following a memo sent out Friday by NCAA General Counsel Donald Remy. It should be noted that the issue has little impact on and is basically not related to the current discussions among FBS commissioners to restructure college football's postseason in 2014. In that memo, the Football Bowl Association, dated March 30th, Remy summarized the task force proposals. The NCAA should discontinue its current detailed licensing system and should embrace and develop a certification system that provides assurance that minimum standards of governance and operation are in place. The NCAA Board of Directors will consider the proposals at the April 26th meeting. Kevin will be there. Right? I think he's already left for it. The task force prefers that the NCAA, basically President Mark Emmert, retain oversight over approving the sponsors. More than one source mentioned NCAA concern over the image projected by the title sponsor, GoDaddy.com, assigned to the Mobile, Alabama-based bowl. Do we really want the NCAA to be the moral police, one FBS source said?
There's going
to
be a GoDaddy.com bowl?
There already is. There has been for a couple of years.
No, I mean, again? I thought that wasn't going to happen anymore.
I don't know. Still there. The website sells domain names, but it promotes itself with some might consider risque TV commercials featuring race car driver Danica Patrick. GoDaddy.com Bowl Executive Director Frank Mordelli was not able to return calls seeking comment, according to a spokesperson. He was in the pits at a NASCAR race. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see. ESPN and ABC broadcast 33 of the 35 bowl games.
Wow.
Well, it's great programming for them. I mean,
sure. But I didn't realize there were that many of those bowl games covered.
Right. They don't do the Sun Bowl. CBS has that, and the Cotton Bowl's on Fox. Las Vegas Bowl Executive Director Tina Kunzer-Murphy is also chairman of the Football Bowl Association, the industry's nonprofit group that represents the bowls. In addition, she is an ESPN employee. The company owns 7 for-profit bowls. Speaking as the head of the FBA, she said, "We don't understand exactly how it's going to play out. To think one person is going to have oversight over a title sponsor is a concern to some of our people. The proposals mean that the commissioners and conferences would decide such issues as bowl eligibility, 7-5 versus 6-6. The decision alone would decide which bowls survive. In January, CBSSports.com reported there was growing support to require bowl teams who have a winning record when the new bowl cycle begins in 2014. In the past two seasons, 27 of the 140 bowl teams, 19%, were 6-6. Overall, in 2006, 59 of the 404 bowl teams, 15%, did not have a winning record. That's since 2006. Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney told CBSSports.com's Brett McMurphy the 6-6 requirement is not all positive, while Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott said he's concerned it dilutes the equity and specialness of being in a bowl. CBSSports.com spoke to the FBS commissioners, and there isn't much support for keeping bowl eligibility at 6-6. I hear more support of going back to a winning record than I've heard in years, said ACC Commissioner John Swofford. It's a legitimate point of discussion right now. If bowl eligibility is increased from 6-7 wins, there would not be enough teams to fill the 35 bowls, meaning some bowls would be discontinued. In October, the task force reported it recognized that if a planned bowl game goes dark because of the absence of eligible teams, there will be considerable disappointment within the community affected. There is, however, no effective way in which the NCAA can assure there will always be teams available. I'll tell you what's going to happen, Kevin. You will find more teams playing 1AA FCS teams to assure they get to
get to that seventh win.
Yes, yeah, that's what you're going to find.
That's true.
Okay? There are ways around such things, Grasshopper. Because guess what? It used to be those wins didn't count. Now they do. There is one significant alternative proposed by the task force in case there weren't enough bowl-eligible teams. A list of 5 teams will be provided ranked by that team's 4-year average APR. Oh, great. Harvard's going to make it. The academic progress rate is a tool that the NCAA uses to measure classroom achievement team by team. This is football, man, not debating. There's a pending legislation to use team APR as a qualifier for postseason participation anyway. See, UConn's in trouble in basketball for next year. The task force alternative means the smartest 5-7 team, based on the 6-6 cutoff, would be first and best and have the best access in the event if there are not enough bowl-eligible teams.
So in other words, what's going to end up happening is there is going to be one team that's going to say, we might not be better than you, but we're smarter.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, I got 2 calls waiting on the line for you, so if you want to hold that thought, we'll go to Lewis here in Lewisburg quick.
All right, let's go to it. I'm all for it.
Hey, I was just thinking about the kids being molested by all the priests and stuff. Who's gonna lead the crusade to root the devil out of the clergy?
Okay, let's move on to the next caller.
I think that is for another.
I believe so. Buzz,
show
still
another
there?
Time. Thank you very
Hi,
much,
guys.
Lewis. We go to Buzz. Hi, Buzz. Thanks for waiting.
Steve, good show, guys. I really enjoy this. Last week I was listening one day, and you were talking about baseball teams in attendance and how important it was to have a winning season. And that, you know, that the attendance was a big part, ticket sales and so on. I recall what day that was. I don't know, but
yeah,
anyhow.
I was actually talking about the Pirates mostly at that point.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. It just reminded me of back in the 70s when I lived in Lewisburg. I used to actually go down to the Vet in Philly to see the Eagles, and I recall that Roman Gabriel was the quarterback then. He had come from Los Angeles, I think. Mm-hmm. And I worked for a company that had seats at the stadium, and I got them twice one year. And there, next to me, there was these two, obviously, Philadelphia guys who, you know, had their fill. It was a 600 section, the nosebleed, the old vet, and all these guys did was harass the team and complain about how lousy they were, and I thought, you know, God, why are these guys here? So about a month later, I was down again, and same guys, and, you know, carrying on about the team and what a crappy team the Eagles. But I said to this guy, I said, you guys were here last time. Oh, we have season tickets. I said, well, you seem to be so disappointed. You don't like the team. You're complaining. Why do you come to the games? They said, oh, we come to see the other teams.
Wow.
I guess that's better than saying I come to complain.
I guess, but I just struck they the odds come to people see the would other have teams? Season tickets. Yeah, they didn't like the Eagles. They came to see the other teams. You know?
Well, you know where that's an issue right now in baseball?
What's that?
That's an issue in Baltimore right now. Baltimore has a real issue with that right now because what you have are when the Yankees come to town, lots of Yankee fans go to Camden Yards. When the Red Sox come to town, a lot of Red Sox fans are at Camden Yards. And the same thing's happening at Washington, too, right now, where they're getting more, you know, when the Phillies play at Washington, that place is loaded with Phillies fans. It's like playing another home game for them, just in a different park.
Well, they fill the seats. I mean, isn't that the idea?
Yeah, no, I'm saying, though, it's an issue. You make a good point, Buzz. I'm saying, but the issue for the ownership is they're looking around saying, I wish more of our people would go.
Well, I guess if you keep booking winning teams into your stadium, you'll get people to come see them.
Right. You have to win.
The only guy said that the Eagles would have, the only way I'm going to see the 49ers is here in Philadelphia. It's not like I'm going out there for them, you know.
Oh, exactly right. And that's a good point. And, look, a lot of people do that. Now, you go to a Phillies game now or you go to an Eagles game, they're all there for Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, even if you get in, I'm talking when it used to be $15 to get in. I can't even imagine what it would cost now. You know,
do you know what I used to pay at Fenway Park for bleacher tickets when I was a kid?
Go ahead.
$2.
Wow.
$2 bleacher tickets. Of course, you know, I first started going in the 1930s.
That's when Babe Ruth was playing.
Really? Yeah.
You know what? Fran Fischer tells a great story. His father took him to a. Huh?
Yeah. About ticket prices?
No, Fran Fischer tells a great story about his father taking him to Forbes Field to see the Pirates play the Boston Braves.
Wow, Boston Braves.
And guess who was playing for the Boston Braves? Babe Ruth. Yes.
Wow.
And that was the day that Ruth
it
hit
was not.
Three home runs, and Fran was there for it when he was younger.
Oh,
he saw
God.
Babe Ruth hit number 7, 12, 13, and 14. They were the last three home runs of his career.
And then reportedly retired at the end of that game.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
How about that?
The only thing I ever saw famous happen is when I was in San Diego in the Navy. I used to go to see the Chargers, and I remember seeing Lance Allworth catches some kind of record pass, 1,000 yards for how many years in a row or whatever, 100 pass a year. But I do remember that. That was pretty impressive. Lance Allworth. Remember that name?
Well, Lance Bambi? Bambi? Probably one of the greatest receivers of all time, signature receiver, probably the best receiver in the 60s and early 70s in the AFL and then into the NFL. He finally won a Super Bowl ring when he was with the Dallas Cowboys. In fact, he caught a touchdown pass in Super Bowl VI. Number 19, Lance Allworth, one of the truly great, great receivers ever and a real signature player in the history of the AFL.
The guy just floated on the field. It's like he wasn't even touching the ground, you know. I mean, he was just everywhere. It was great.
Yeah, Lance Allworth, number 19. He wore 19 with the Chargers. Just one of the true all-time great receivers in the history of the, whether it's AFL or NFL, professional football.
Good to know. Thanks, guys.
No, hey, great call, Buzz. That's great. We come down here to see the other teams. Eventually, somewhere the goal has to be to see our team.
How come you guys have stories of great moments while you watch a game? The best thing I have is when my team wins. That's the best I can hope for.
We're at the Sunbury Motors Studio. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. We'll come back with Kevin's memories of the day he got a bunt single, a swinging bunt single in Little League.
Oh,
after
wait.
This.
I was actually trying to hit the ball to the outfield, though.
Poor Buzz goes down to Philadelphia, the vet, runs into the same fans each time. And this bitter group gets up there and yells the entire game at the Eagles. And they're only there because the 49ers are in town. That was in the old Vet many years ago.
I actually saw a game in the Vet, and it was very much like that, come to think of it. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people yelling at the home team.
Well, yeah, the last time I was at the Link for a pro game, obviously I was at the Link last fall to do Penn State and Temple, was I saw the Eagle. I went with a group of friends. And we decided to go, you know, we'd gone to Lambeau Field, and they said, well, let's go to Philadelphia this year. I said, okay, great. And they played Jacksonville. Jacksonville won the game. It was not a happy populace.
Don't imagine.
Brutal.
Well, it was the only stadium in the NFL that had its own court underneath it.
Well, the Vet, yeah.
Yeah. If you got taken out for drunk and disorderly or anything else for violent behavior, they just went ahead and had the trial in the basement.
Right.
They arraigned you right there.
The GoDaddy.com bowl.
I honestly thought they were doing away with that because of all the controversy over the last couple of years.
Well, they might be, but they hadn't done it yet. Right? Let's see.
I think, listen, for the right amount of money, you can have the insert sponsor name here bowl. I mean, it doesn't matter anymore. For the right amount of money, you can create your own bowl game.
I'm sure you can, but you got to come up with the cash to do it. And GoDaddy has cash.
Well, if I would have hit Mega Millions, I would have had my own bowl game.
The Her Bowl?
Exactly. Does that have a great ring to it?
Okay, let's see here. GoDaddy.com bowl. Let's see. What does it say here? Let's see. Lab People Stadium Mobile, we know that. It matches Sun Belt against Mid-American Conference and will through 2013.
Okay, so there's one more.
It was actually previously known as the GMAC Bowl for 10 years.
Ah.
General Motors had it.
Right. Well, there's a lot of those bowls that have changed over the last couple of years. Was it CarQuest used to have one? That's now something else.
Right. Well, Meineke used to be in Charlotte. Now they're in Houston. And Northern Illinois and Arkansas State played this year, yeah.
You know what the best one was? The Poland Weed Eater Independence Bowl.
Oh, I love that one.
That was my favorite. And whatever happened to the Blue Bonnet Bowl? That was every year.
It was played New Year's Eve every year.
Yeah, every year New Year's Eve.
Yeah, went away.
And see, that's the other thing that bugs me. I mean, growing up, you had the Blue Bonnet Bowl on New Year's Eve, and then you had all your bowl games on New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the Cotton Bowl, the Rose, the Sugar, the Fiesta, all of them were going on, you know, basically right in that same window on that same day. Now they're all over the place, and you're playing bowl games on the 10th of January.
Well, the bowl game of the 10th of January is the BCS championship game.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying. I mean, listen, New Year's Day, that's when college football should end. That's when it's supposed to end. That's what it's all about.
Well, it's not going to with a plus one BCS championship game.
Yeah, but they're supposed to do that in December, I thought.
That's the semifinals.
So they're going to hold
that until... You do not want the national championship game. You don't want lead-ins. You want it to stand alone.
Agreed, but maybe that should be the only game on New Year's Day, then.
No.
Or I can go, all right, I'll go one day past New Year's Day.
No, you can't do that.
I'll go one day past New Year's Day, but the January 10th, it's just, that just strings them out
too long. That's
too long.
I know, I agree. That's too long.
And then having a humanitarian bowl after all, during the BCS games, that makes no sense at all. I mean, that's a bowl game that should be in late December, early January. That's fine. But,
it is.
Well, the one year they played it in the middle of the BCS years games. They played it like on a Saturday.
You're talking about the Kraft Hunger Bowl, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. It's the Hunger Bowl. You're right. The Hunger Games Bowl. Sorry.
No, the Hunger Games is the number one movie.
That'll be the next new bowl
at the box office, $61 million.
That'll be the next new ball game.
Yeah. So the Hunger Games. Yeah. Yeah, the Avco Care, Independence Bowl, All-State BCS National Championship Game, All-State Sugar Bowl, AT&T Cotton Bowl Classic, AutoZone Liberty Bowl, BBVA Compass Bowl, Beef O'Brady's Bowl, St. Petersburg, Belk Bowl, Bell Helicopter
Armed Forces Bowl. The Belk Bowl?
That's in Charlotte.
Spell that.
B-E-L-K.
Oh, Belk.
Yeah, Capital One Bowl, Bridgepoint Education, Holiday Bowl, Champs Sports Bowl, Chick-fil-A Bowl, Discover Orange Bowl, Famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
No way. I missed that one.
Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. Gildan New Mexico Bowl, the GoDaddy Bowl, GoDaddy.com, the Hyundai Sun Bowl, Insight Bowl. They're changing sponsors, by the way. Insight's out. Kraft Hunger Bowl, Little Caesars Bowl, which is the one that Kevin wants to get tickets to. And you have the Little Caesars Bowl, the Mako Bowl in Las Vegas, the Meineke Car Care Bowl in Texas, the Military Bowl presented by Northrop Grumman, New Era Pinstripe Bowl, the Outback Bowl, the Rose Bowl game presented by Vizio, R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl, the Sheraton Hawaii Bowl, the TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl, the Ticket City Bowl, also the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl and the Valero Alamo Bowl. I was naming bowls through the entire news.
You didn't even stop.
Never stopped. That's how many there are. Now, Insight's going to change. The sponsorship is out.
No, wait, that's the Insight.com Bowl, right?
It's just called the Insight Bowl.
Oh, it's just the Insight Bowl? Well, it was the Insight Bowl.
Right. They ended their sponsorship. So they've talked to ESPN about finding another sponsor for them.
How come we don't have an ESPN Bowl?
Technically, we do. These are all ESPN.
Yeah, that's every other game.
Yeah, it's all the other ones, yeah. So, yeah.
Chick-fil-A used to be the Peach Bowl.
Yeah, I know it was. Remember when they changed, I was like, oh, you have to be kidding me. But no, yeah, that's, I mean, the first one to really do that, where they really took control of it, and you don't know where it is unless you're familiar with it, was the Outback Bowl, Outback Steakhouse.
That's true.
Came in and said, hey, look, you know, we're taking an Outback Bowl. And now, since then, that has started to change.
Well, now, was that a new bowl or was that a bowl that was taken over by Outback?
It used to be the All-American Bowl.
The All-American Bowl, okay.
It used to be, the Hall of Fame Bowl?
Yep, that's
called, the, it was the Hall of Fame Bowl. Started in Birmingham, and then they moved to Tampa. And then finally Outback Steakhouse came in, and they just took control and after that, you know, I mean, Jack and I have been sitting in there eating Jackaroo chops. It's great.
I don't know. It's a blooming onion every New Year's Day or day after.
They have all the Outback stuff in the press box. I mean, like, Jack is very health conscious, right? And we're at Northwestern one time, and it was an early game. I think the game was going to kick off at 11 o'clock Central Time. So I walk back just to get a bottle of water, and Roger Corey comes over, and they have all these pastries and donuts all over the place. And Roger picks up a couple and leaves. And Jack walks over. I just had a bottle of water. He says, look, Steve, a table of death. While Roger's walking down the hallway. After picking apart the table of death. Oh, my goodness. Well, at least we're having a good time today. I don't know about the rest
That's
of you.
That's right.
Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Purdy Insurance is our Monday sponsor, and we're thrilled to have them on board. Purdy Insurance, located at Market Street in Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. We are in the spacious, palatial, and incredible Sunbury Motors studio, where Kevin, on the Friday, April 20th show, will be making a cameo appearance.
Yes, unfortunately, you won't be there, I understand, but I'll be. I heard that you were going to be conveniently away that day. I don't. Is that a rumor?
I'll eventually be back.
Yeah, okay,
and right. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. We are thrilled to be a part of the Sunbury Motors studio. I'll be here.
All right. I just want to make
sure. Why wouldn't I be here?
Well, you didn't pull an April Fool's joke on me. I figured you're holding it for a little later.
No, I'll be here. But yes, Kevin will be here. Broadcasting from the chateau. The two of us. We're going to take it out on location May 2nd. And we're going to do it again on May 9th. How about that?
Well, I knew of the one. There's another one?
Well,
I got to start attending these meetings.
I have a speaking engagement on the 2nd in the area.
Oh, I have to start attending these
meetings. I mean, I can do the show here and then just pop over. I mean, it's no big deal. It's fine by me. You can do whatever you want. But May 9th for sure. May 9th for sure. And again, we are required by law and by Homeland Security to tell you that Kevin will be playing golf on May 9th.
Yeah, you better tell somebody.
A message from this station, the Ad Council, and Homeland Security.
Listen, there's two things that the Susquehanna Valley Country Club gets ready for when there's a golf tournament that I'm in. One, replacing divots, and two, making sure that everyone has their head up and looking around, because you never know where the golf ball's going.
Well, last year, I mean, they almost hit the jackpot. They thought, you know, you had one swing that they almost thought they had oil.
You want to see the worst swings, all right? I had one of the worst swings ever in, and I don't remember which, I think it was actually the Purdy tournament for the YMCA, which is one we'll be doing in May. You know, the little scorecard holders on the golf cart? Well, the guy I was playing along with had the cart parked a little too far ahead. And I hit one off the toe a little bit and took the scorecard holder right off the steering wheel. This is what you're going to have to watch for, buddy. Definitely stay behind me when I swing the club.
I have two letters for you. I want you to remember these two letters.
Uh-huh.
All right? D-R.
D-R?
Yes.
Okay.
Driving range. Oh. Just get out there, get a few buckets, do something.
I thought it was duck and recover.
Yeah, well, if you don't go to the driving range, I'm going to be ducking and recovering. I can tell you that right now. Oh, mercy. That's this is what I have to look forward to. Who else is in our foursome?
Just you and I right now. Drew Kelly may join us.
Okay. All right. What about Kerry?
I don't think he plays.
Farron?
Not that I'm aware of.
Barty?
No, I don't think so.
No, well, we can teach Barty.
You may have to. You may have to bring somebody along with you too. Oh, now you got to work.
No. I just be a riot if I brought him, huh?
I'm not sure I want to hit the ball with Jack Ham watching me. That might be just a little. Listen, there's two things I know. I've only talked to him on the phone a few times, but there's two things I know. One, he has a really good sense of humor. So the two of you together, bad news for me right there.
Yes.
And number two,
it wouldn't be very good for you now.
And number two, being a Steelers fan, the last thing I want to do is have a bad impression in his head of me.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
But, yeah, I can see that being my own personal nightmare for 18 holes.
What? Just because we would analyze your swing. Now, remember, okay, how many clubs do you carry in the bag?
How many clubs do I carry, or how many are you supposed to
carry?
How
many clubs do you carry in the bag?
14.
You carry the maximum 14?
I do.
Okay. Now, you have 14 clubs in the bag. I can already tell you what your issue is.
Okay, I can't wait to hear this.
It's a math issue.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
I'm listening.
You have 14 clubs and only one swing.
Yeah, that's, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same swing with all 14 of them.
It's pretty true. Actually, the best club in my bag is my chutter.
Your what?
My chutter. My chipper putter. Best club in my bag. And I am wicked good out of the sand.
You have enough practice.
Exactly.
That's always, people crack me up. They'll tell me, oh, man, I'll tell you, I'm really great at getting out of the woods. I'm like, really?
I'm not.
I was playing golf at Top Trees one time, and I was there with a guy and his brother. All right. And we were playing at a charity event, and we're playing our own ball, so it wasn't a scramble. And he looks at me. We're on the second hole. And he looks at me and says, "It's gonna be a long day." I said, "Why is that?" He says, "That's the last of the free ones." So we're in the second hole. He says, "Yeah, you already lost two." And he was searching in the woods for the third one.
Yeah, when you know you've had a successful round of golf, if you're me anyway, when you come home with five or fewer balls than you started with. Because then you know you didn't lose that many, or you found a bunch of them on the course somewhere to make up for the ones you lost. That's a successful day for me.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I think I
think the most rounds I've ever gone without losing a ball, I played like five or six rounds in a row once, same ball.
No, I keep the golf ball companies in business. there's a golf tournament I did years ago. Big Brothers Big Sisters did it here. It was a golf marathon where you played from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and you just continually played. Somewhere around the fourth round, my 9-iron turned into being a club that I just couldn't use anymore unless I was almost right next to the green. Every club, you played three clubs higher than you normally would by that point of the day. Arms felt like lead. Ball was going all over the place. It was like, is it 6 o'clock yet, please?
Imagine what the other members of the foursome were saying. Believe me, they're all looking at their watches going, is it six o'clock yet? I remember one time playing night golf.
Oh, that's night fun. Golf. I've seen it. I've never done it.
Yeah. Toft Trees had that for a period of time. And Tom Bradley's late brother, Matt. And Matt played in the USFL with the Boston Breakers and so forth. He was a linebacker. We hit the ball all over the place. I mean, finding it actually wasn't that bad because it glows in the dark.
Right, that helps.
So you look at, for example, you hit one and it ends up in like pine straw. You're looking around. Well, there it is. It's the only thing glowing there. Well, unless you're near the nuclear power plant, I don't see anything else. It's, you know. You should be in pretty good shape. Oh, not bad at all. So this is what I have to look forward to on the 9th. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Listen, you think you're entertained with some of the things I say and do now. Wait for that day.
Now, what time do we tee off that day?
Morning. I don't know the time right off the top of my head.
Well, that covers from 12:01 to 11:59.
Listen, you just be here in time to tee off, or you'll be fine.
Well, how am I supposed to know when that is?
You got a month. You don't think I'm going to tell you before a month?
I don't know. When do we tee off? Morning. Okay.
We tee off in the morning, and usually if you're on the front nine, you'll have to battle the fog a little bit. On the back nine, it's not as bad. There's your little tip.
I played one time in the fog at Cape Cod. I mean, I'm talking, this was a seaside links course. It's called Highland Golf Course. Highland Golf Links. The nine-hole course. Right on in Truro, just south of Provincetown, just north of Chatham. Right on the Atlantic Ocean. The tee box on the sixth hole, right, as you tee off, is on a cliff overlooking the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, why don't I just take an eight right now and be done with it? That's what I'd be thinking.
No. I parred that hole, right? And then the seventh hole heads toward the ocean, except you don't quite see the ocean. Why? Because the lighthouse is right behind the green. The Highland Light. Seaside Lynx Golf. You know how many golf balls my brother and I lost that day?
I can't even.
None.
No way.
We played in the fog. Lose a ball.
Wow. I would have lost the whole bag.
And we had a blast. We were playing the fog. You hit the ball like, I don't know, it seemed pretty good. Also, about 100.
See, that's the nice thing. If you're hitting them straight, at least you know where to find them. It's when you don't hit them straight in the fog, it's a problem.
So, I mean, so that, you know, playing in the fog, it's at Susquehanna.
I think
8 a.m.
I know, it's going to be like going to early morning practice for you.
Wow. Well, because I have to drive. It's 6:30. How long does it take? An hour and, what, 12 minutes to get there?
Yeah, that's about that. That's about right.
Oh, okay. So if I leave, it's at 6:48.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm figuring on you being on around 8:10.
Oh, good. I can leave at 7:50.
But yeah, it's May 9th, the annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament benefits.
Okay, so then we get to what? Play till 12:30 or 1, right?
Right.
1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then we have 2 hours before the show.
Correct.
What are you supposed to do in the 2 hour?
Have lunch.
This isn't a 5-course meal at the Waldorf.
Well, you don't know. You don't know.
No, usually it's soup, sandwiches, and chips.
What itinerary for you? Is that what you're looking for?
This is 2 hours.
Do I have to plan out every 30 minutes of your day?
Yeah, but look, I have to do the show with you for 2 hours.
Right.
Okay? I got to play golf with you for 5 hours.
You're assuming that it...
it's like I could have like a 2-hour halftime.
Sure. You can do whatever you want in those 2 hours. How's that?
Oh, golly.
I'll let it up to you. But yeah, we'll have the show live from the country club then, starting at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
All right.
Show goes till 5?
Yeah. Yes, time.
Back on the road, 501.
501. You'll be pulling a jackham to me at about 10. I'll be like, get out. Gotta catch a flight.
You gotta remember. Look, I will enjoy the show there. And sure. I'll enjoy meeting everybody is all day long.
Sure.
Okay. 7:30. I leave at 5:30. That's 10 hours with you.
Couldn't spend the day any better.
Final segment of the show coming up after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
It's needed. You're going to move forward. You have to travel light.
I got too many clubs in the bag, the way it sounds.
Drew Kelly sent me a text. He had a suggestion as to what we should do.
Uh-huh. I'm sure he did.
It's something dealing with beverages. Oh, well.
They have some great refreshing beverages there. Soft drinks, juices.
Yes, they do. Juices. Yeah, lots of juice. That'd be great. All right. It's Masters Week.
Beautiful segue, by the way.
It is Masters Week. And Joe Hughes from the Penn State Golf Courses, we'll talk with him a little bit tomorrow. A little bit later in the week, we'll also talk with Mark Pavlik of the Penn State men's volleyball program. They're aiming for another Final Four appearance. So we'll talk to him a little bit later in the week. We're also trying to work on getting the Pirates and Phillies announcers on. They open the season Thursday in Pittsburgh at PNC against one another. And hopefully there'll be a different tone in that Philadelphia-Pittsburgh series as opposed to the one we saw yesterday at Consol Energy.
That got a little nasty.
A little nasty. Now, look at the Masters. If you're CBS, you're thrilled. You have Kansas-Kentucky tonight, two nationally known programs, especially Kentucky with a huge following. And Kentucky will win tonight. I mean, they'll win by they'll win probably, I'm going to say, 7 to 11 points.
That would cover the spread.
Oh, one of my biggest concerns.
I know.
Yeah. And then they have the Masters. With Tiger Woods coming off of a win at Arnold Palmer's tournament 9 days ago. You have Phil Mickelson, who's already won at Pebble Beach this year, finished second in Riviera, at Riviera, in a playoff, and finished fourth yesterday at the Shell in Houston, where he's the defending champion. You have Rory McIlroy, who's won, finished runner-up at the Accenture match play, and then won the next week. So you have all the key players in this, all having good years, all having good seasons, heading to Augusta National. Yes, sir!
Welcome to the Masters on CBS.
Now, Kevin asked the other day, why, when they're on 18 and they're watching somebody hit the shot on 8, are they whispering? That's because somebody's putting on 18 that nobody knows about.
Can you imagine being Jim Nance going, oh, what a beautiful shot, a beautiful shot. Oh, I'm sorry. Oops.
Sorry. Our thanks, by the way, to Purdy Insurance for being today's sponsor. As always, our good friends at Purdy Insurance, located on Market Street in Sunbury and online at purdyinsurance.com. In fact, one of the prime sponsors of the golf tournament we're playing in. And also Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin will be doing a signing at the Acme Summers, Hummel's Wharf, right?
Great. Line them up.
Should
all
be interesting.
Three people.
Oh, come on. Don't oversell yourself. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk with Joe Hughes, Penn State Golf Courses. It's Masters Week. We'll talk about Kevin Herr's game and how it might not be able to be repaired.